I put them on here.
Yes?
They have Admiral Rayburn for you.
I'm recording.
Yes, sir.
Red?
Good afternoon, sir.
How you getting along?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, sir, and I'm highly honored to have a call from you, sir.
You got pretty weather out there?
Kinda.
Well, you got a little rain, and it's kind of dreary back here.
It's running a little valley out here, too, and God knows we can use a little of it.
Yeah. Say, I want to talk to you confidentially about a matter, and I don't want anybody to know it but you and me. I know your health problem, and I know that your financial problem and all those things, but we're getting in a pretty serious business up here now, and I've been given very earnest consideration to asking you if you couldn't come back and help us a little while.
Well, I'm kind of honored to have you think of me. As you know, I'm a warm affectionate user and strong support the way I could, but I do have a continuing health problem.
I thought I might take a young man over here and make him your deputy, and you kind of handle it. I don't think you got much more health problem than I have.
That's a little different.
Give you a strong. My blood pressure went to zero.
Yeah.
Can't go any lower when I had my heart attack.
Mine's on the other side.
Yeah.
I agree with you there.
I don't want you to just. John McCone's out there now, and he spends some time away, and he's. We can't have but one military man or one man military background, but I want somebody that McNamara has great respect for, and he does for you, and somebody that I can, whose judgment, J-U-D-G-M-E-N-T, you can trust. Mr. Rayburn, you say, I don't give a damn how smart a man is if he hasn't got judgment. And I think we've got a fella that in a year or two would be real good to succeed McCone.
Yes, sir.
He's in charge of plans out there now. He's a career man. His name is Helms. Do you know him?
Helms?
Yeah, CIA. He's a young, attractive fella. But I would like to give thought to moving him into the deputy spot and giving him some training and some seasoning there, but doing it for a period until we thought he was ready under a rather man with seasoned judgment and somebody that could deal pretty well with Russell and the House Committee and Mahon appropriations people, and let them feel during this critical period that we had somebody that was an old war horse that knew what he was doing and just wasn't a civilian out of the service. Now, I need you awful bad, awful quick for that. And I don't think it's something you got to go to war about or around the clock. I think you can just take it about as easy as you want to, as long as you're satisfied that things are going. I think it's in pretty good shape. I think it, you might want to take a little trip once in a while, but I believe he'd be a very good deputy, and I would almost make him the director, but I'm not quite that close to it at this moment.
Would you, your suggestion, I would leave Mr. McCone?
Yeah. I'd want you, what we do is that's a pretty close corporation. And when you, it's pretty worldwide, and it's pretty heavy in its appropriations, as you know, many hundreds of millions, and but they got a good organization, they got good men, they need a top man that can keep the Congress pretty well informed without staying in the newspapers, and they go up and see Russell once a month, spend an hour with him, kind of tell him what's going on, and Harry Byrd, and the same thing with Mahon. But every Tuesday, his principal job is bringing in his little briefing for the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and the President. We have lunch, the four of us, every Tuesday at my dining room at the White House. And he's responsible for the show. But McCone, the last few months, has been away quite a bit. His wife's had some trouble. He's out there now. He's got some folks sick. And he's been at it 4 or 5 years. And he will be available to us anytime we want him to use for anything. The main thing for me to do is try to get a man in the spot that that I have confidence in when he comes in and says, now here's what we see coming down the trail here, is what our judgment is. I want you to bear in mind that this could happen and this could happen. But our best information this morning is so-and-so. Because my judgment's no better than the information it's based on. And I need someone that I can have respect for and that I've watched through the years in this very critical period right now. And I hate to ask you to do this, but I just don't know of anybody that I think is better equipped or better able to do it. I've looked over all of what the doctors say about you and over your whole record. And they just don't want you playing 28 holes of golf.
I'd think of that job, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. You could take your nap every day after lunch, and you could have your good debity, and you got a good bunch of people running it. John doesn't take it too hard. He'd gone out and got married and traveled all around the world, and he's had a pretty good thing. And I would like to have General Carter, who's there now, go back to the Defense Department, a good assignment. I would like for you to take over and be the boss, and I'd like for Helms to be your deputy, and you train him to when you can turn him loose. And I think there's a good many of them want him now. A good many of them think he'd be all right, some of the boys in my own shop. I'm not quite ready for that, and this is a pretty touchy period, and even if I go wrong, I want to have somebody of my own complexion and my own knowledge. Well, just as long as you want to. I need to know the quicker the better, and he wants to leave this month. And he's going to leave, and I don't want an acting there. But you just take whatever time you think about it. Of course, after you, if you're going to come first of the month, I won't have any problem. If you don't, I'll be in a hell of a shape. And I've looked the whole country over. I've looked at the jackets, and I've talked to the people that have considered. I've talked about promoting folks from within and without. And I think you just have to tell your company that you have to come up here. I wouldn't want it in the paper on this basis. But I think you have to tell your company that you just got to come here and stay a few months. And they got to make a little sacrifice too and give you a leave. And we won't overwork you, and we won't overdo it, and I think you'll enjoy it, and I think it'll be a great experience for you, and I think it'll be be worth a hell of a lot more to anybody after you leave, including yourself, and you are now, and you've just got a wonderful record, and I'd just like for you to sit across from Bob McNamara and give him your views, and hear mine, and listen to Rusky's, and then all of us try to make a judgment, because you can't stay out there when you hear that fire bell anyway if these damn red Chinese about 35 divisions up start coming down there. I know what the old horse does when you hear the bell ring.
Well, you certainly do me an honor, Mr. President. About how long do you think this would be?
I think it'd be up to you. I would come without anybody ever knowing that it might not be the rest of your life. But I would take Helms in there. And I have a couple of McNamara thinks that Helms is about ready to do it now. Rusk is ready for Helms now. Mac Bundy thinks Helms ought to go in now. I don't feel quite that sure, although he's been with the agency for a good many years. I just want to have somebody. He's a Brooks Brothers looking fella. He's a real attractive fella. Black hair and olive skin and wears a little pin in his collar and stuff like that. But I think that in our meetings here, you can bring him with you anytime you want him or need him and have him around. McCone brings one or two all the time. But I think in our meetings and with the things as they are now, and with Russell sick, and with the old man Benson going over to the house, and with Bird, I just rather think I'd rather have you for a few months and see how we come out in this Vietnam thing, and see what your evaluation of him is, and then I think any time you felt like if you wanted to go back to the first of the year, or October, or September, any time you thought, well, this is going all right now, or if it's working too much on you. And I wouldn't expect you to spend your nights and your Saturdays and things like that. I think the show runs itself pretty well if it's got a man that everybody respects and thinks is impartial, and that there's nobody cutting at each other. And they would be that way about you. I had lunch. I haven't talked to anybody about it but McNamara and John Macy. John Macy thinks that your background, your acceptance, your respect will just be the best we could get. And McNamara went and got your jacket and went over it all. And I did ask John Conley and Fred Korth what they thought of you. I didn't mention CIA at all because I don't want it to get in the paper. And John said he would, if he's worth $1 billion, he'd put you in charge of all of it. He thought you were the most competent fella he'd ever run into, and that you had the best management job he'd ever seen, and it was the best managed project he'd ever seen, and you were on top of it every minute. And Fred said substantially the same thing. So nearly everybody that that's worked with you feels that your name is what I know it to be and what I believe, but I'm not getting into these things lightly.
I understand, sir. Well, sir, I take it that it'll be something 6 months to a year.
Well, it'll be as long as you want it, and as soon as you can get out of it if you think it's all right. I don't want you to leave it unless you think this fella's all right. If you get in there and stay a while, you can stay as long as I'm president, or go leave as soon as you think it'll run itself.
Mr. President, I couldn't ask for a better deal, and I certainly thank you for your confidence in me, and I will be in touch with you right quick.
Thank you, Admiral. Thank you. Bye.
Waiting.